Stanley Hatzel of Market Block Books is back in the studio once again. Hello, Stanley. Glad to have you as always.
Hello. Thank you.
So what do you have for us today?
I have probably way too many books, so I'm going to dive in with an old favorite because there's a sequel to this old favorite. The old favorite is called My Name is Mary Sutter by Robin Oliveira. This is a novel that is set in Albany, New York, or starts in Albany, New York, right around the time of the Civil War. And Mary Sutter wants to become a doctor, but the Albany School of Medicine will not take her.
Why not?
Because she's a woman.
Aw.
I know. So she does, you know, she's a midwife and does things like that and helps a lot of people. But what I love about it, it gives you this real strong feel of Albany in the 1800s and in the area where I used to live near the on Dove Street. It just is a great story. And she ends up going down into the battle scenes in the Civil War outside. She first goes to Washington, D.C., where there's this hospital, and they keep amputating limbs, and there's like this pile of limbs outside one window.
That sounds and gross.
So she's assisting and helping. And it's pretty intense. And then she ends up in the middle of a nighttime battle where she gets off a train and she starts walking and doesn't realize she's walking among all these dead soldiers. So it's a powerful, powerful book and beautiful. And it's got a great sense of history. The woman, the author, is originally from this area, now lives on the West Coast, but she gives a terrific feel for the area. So the second book, which I haven't read yet, but I am ready to read it, just comes out tomorrow. So you're getting the first peek at this new release called Winter Sisters. Also, it's a follow-up to My Name is Mary Sutter. Honestly, I know it's going to be good. So
I feel like the name Sutter is something I see on place names a lot. Is it the same family name, or is this just like a fictitious?
I think it's just fictional.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. Hadn't thought about that. That's, Sutter's out in the West Coast, but that's a California name,
yes.
I think.
Yes. I grew up in California, and so there's a place called Sutter's Mill that sticks out in my mind.
Right. Well, I don't think so. But maybe she's inspired by the West Coast because that's where she lives. Although I think she's like Seattle or someplace, not California. So honestly, My Name is Mary Sutter is one of my favorite recommends. And then pretty soon I'm going to have a second recommend going on once I get this read. So that's on my agenda.
Did we say the name already? It's
called Winter's Sisters. And I have a synopsis of the book, but I don't even want to tell you the synopsis. I want you to read that first one first if you hadn't read it. So the next book I brought, this is actually a memoir. It came out last Tuesday, so it's still within a week of release. It's called Educated, and it's by Tara Westover. This is an unbelievable story. This woman grew up in a survivalist cult, Mormon survivalist cult in Idaho. Parents, you know, kept them home, raised them. Mother's an herbalist. Dad is a bunch of different things, you know, construction, you know, whatever. And he's the patriarch of the family. And one of her brothers is abusive. But one of the brothers of the family managed to escape and go off to college. And he comes back and says, You can go off to college too. So she ends up passing the ACT, gets in, admitted to Brigham Young University, and from there she knew nothing. She didn't even know what the Holocaust was. She knew nothing about anything. She was trying to read Les Misérables, and she didn't know who Napoleon Bonaparte was. So she she had this obvious lack in her education. But she gets into Brigham Young. From there, she goes to Harvard, and she gets her PhD from Cambridge University in England. So this is an amazing coming-of-age story. And she didn't know how to write, so she taught herself how to write. She actually taught herself grammar and mathematics so she could take the ACT.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and
so impressive.
Her writing is really brilliant. Riveting. You can't stop turning the pages. It's just a terrific, terrific book. It's called Educated by Tara Westover.
Is it a true story? This can't be a
true story. True story.
It's
a true story. And that's what makes it even more amazing. Yeah.
And I can barely figure out how to make rice without it being too sticky or too much water.
So I kind of wanted – my idea with these books is that they would – how to feed yourself. You know, so she fed herself with knowledge. And Mary Sutter's story is about feeding her spirit, but also end up feeding other people and taking care of other folks. So the next part is more literal. So I brought some gardening books. I live in a tiny, tiny apartment that happened to have a backyard, and I can't grow much at all. So the first thing I brought is called Indoor Kitchen Gardening, Turn Your Home into a Year-Round Vegetable Garden by Elizabeth Millard or Millard. Simple ideas for someone who's not as talented at gardening like me.
Me too.
And things like growing stuff on the windowsill in a flower box, a hanging thing. I have a similar book I'm going to show you. It's like this one as well, but a little bit larger scale. But, you know, using pots, flower pots, all kinds of things.
I'm looking at page 25, and there's an adorable picture of a cat eating a plant. So it's not just for humans.
That's right. You can't plants. Cats need plants, too. So I don't have any.
That's part of my problem. I put plants out there, and my cat will eat them. Even I got a cactus, and then she just started attacking it.
Well, you should plant something for your cat.
She thinks I do.
So similarly, this next book is called The Indoor Edible Garden. You see the theme here already. It's they're thinking small. It's a larger book than the one I just showed you. And this one has many more ideas and projects. Some of them are absolutely things that I know I could pull off. Some of them would take a coach and a team to cheer me on for that.
Yeah, like these sprouts. Are supposed to be really, really easy to do.
Well, I wish I brought my sprout book because sprouts really are very easy. You just need a mason jar and a little mesh top, and you soak your seeds and then drain them and let the light grow them out. It's amazingly simple, and they're so good for you. So the next book is one of these teeny tiny books called Growing a Permaculture Food Forest. Now, this is really my kind of gardening because you don't have to worry about doing anything fancy. And look how tiny this book is. I don't even think it's 50 pages long, maybe. But this guy goes through all the details, this permaculture food forest, about how you can just easily plant things. And what you're doing is you're planting something that's going to continually grow back over and over and over again, sustain itself. And so you have to monitor it the first couple of years and make sure it's getting properly, what's that word you want? Grounded, rooted.
I don't know anything about growing plants, but I like this approach to a small and very approachable book.
It's very direct. There's no questions about what you're doing with this book. And if you don't have a garden in your backyard, see if you can borrow some of your neighbor's space with the idea you might give the neighbor some of your produce.
Nice. Well, we got one more minute left, Stanley. So.
One more minute, and the last book is going to be the Big Ideas for Small Places, another gardening book. This one is a little bit more involved, but there are some really clever ideas about using wooden crates to hang things, and there are some vegetables and produce in there I've never heard of before. One looks like a little watermelon, but apparently tastes like a cucumber, and I can't even tell you what the word is. I've never heard this word, but it's good. So there's a lot in there.
Perfect timing right before spring starts.
That's right.